word from the Lord. How many know a word that comes in season is the best thing for us? So here I am. I'm kind of coasting along with this series, and I came to a close last week on the wonders of God. Going to get back on to is the world as we know it real, and dealing with that last question that we posed, three questions, and the last one was, is the word Elohim in Genesis 1? In the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. Is the word Elohim, because it's written in the plural, does it mean that it's more than one God? Some translations translate that, in the beginning, gods. And so I was going to take that teaching on and show you how that's a wrong translation and deal with lots of things. So I had the presentation of a couple hundred slides that I'm about to get on, take a few Sundays to do, but we'll get there. So I get here today, and well, anyway, I open my computer. My computer looked different, and I said, man, why it looks like this? It's a brand new computer. Well, anyway, somehow, I was just looking at stuff from last week, just going back over it, and I noticed that stuff was missing. So anyway, I said, well, that's fine. I'll deal with that later. I'll call tech support or whatever. Something happened. So anyway, I get my stuff up, ready to go. I send it down here, and we open it, and I said, I'm just like, God, you don't want to do this right now, do you? So we won't go on that today. So I said, what are we doing? Well, last night I did Torah portion, and I touched on this subject, and what you see up here. And I never really asked it this way. I didn't do any presentation, nor did I have one really today. But the Lord impressed upon me to ask this question: how wrestling with God will change you? How will it change you? Will it change you? So I just, rather than asking it, I want to rather throw it out as a statement so every one of you can think about it. And this statement comes directly from an experience that was experienced by several people in the scripture. And I'll try to deal with most of those today if I can, but mainly Jacob. Jacob wrestled. The Bible says a man showed up and he wrestled with the man. So I'll look at that. I'll read those scripture. But can it change you? Well, did it change him? It did. Did it change Saul, which is now Paul? Did it change Abraham? Did it change Job? There was a lot of people that life were impacted by an encounter with God. And no matter what happens in life, the only thing that matters is your encounter with God. Nothing else. It doesn't matter who does what. And so I appreciate the song selections, the testimonies. I appreciate everything that has led us up to this point, because God knows that today, I mean, thank God for today. Today is a special day. Well, we could talk about every day being a special day, but the reason I want to call it a special day is because God has something to say to us that he thought was so important that he would change the order of service and say, this is what's going to happen today. Now, to me, that's two things happening there. One, it's important to God. So much so, and it doesn't necessarily have to be important to us. It could be. It could be very important to us. But it is important to God. But here's how I take it. If it's important to God, then we ought to take note of that. Because what matters to him is what should matter to us. So I want to look at this today, and I'm going to point out some things as the Lord leads concerning what happened in the life of Jacob and him wrestling with God, him coming to some understanding. So let's look at it, and let the Lord minister to you today. Let's just kind of, you know, we don't realize in life that we could be in a position where we go places and we throw up barriers, and they just come naturally to us. We don't mean to do them. We you know, somebody, if you've been hurt, a lot of times you're naturally going to throw up barriers that you don't even mean to throw up, but you've set a marker there, and you don't go past that marker. You could be in a room with people you know, and you could be in a room with your family, and you could be laughing, but you don't laugh past a certain point. You don't get involved past a certain point because you've created a safety zone for you. Because last time you went past that, your life was crushed. Your life changed, and you don't like that. And it doesn't feel good. And we do that in life in general. We set parameters. And what happens, we get so used to those parameters. When we come before God, we have those same parameters. We don't go past that. And God only can deal with us past those parameters because it gets to the heart of the matter. And that's what God wants to do. He said, I'll take the heart of stone and I'll make it flesh again. That's pretty incredible. Because let me tell you, once the heart is stone, there ain't a whole lot you could do or I could do or anybody else can do. You're not going to go to the doctor and he's going to say, well, take three of these. It'll fix the heart of stone. It won't fix it, but God can. He's the only one can. And so I want to tell you that everybody that I've ever met, that I know, and somehow, in some ways, we have these parameters. We just do. We won't go past them. We just kind of set those boundaries, and that's it. What we talk about, maybe it's our little secret. Well, there ain't no our secret when it comes to God, because He knows everything. He knew what was going on in Jacob's life. Jacob was having a tough time. He had already planned. He said, you know, the way I see it, I'm probably going to die today. My brother Esau, you know, I did him wrong. And he has a pretty big group of guys. I have a group of guys, but your group of guys is only going to be as tough as the leader is. In this particular point, Esau, you know, he was a hunter, a man's man. And so his guys were what? Hunters and man's man. I mean, they were ready to go. Jacob, you know, he was more the guy that stirred the pot. Well, the guys around him were sort of that away. He started looking at his gang and looking at Esau's gang. He says, you know, we're probably going to die today. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to separate us. We'll make two groups. Now, this is his reasoning. I'll separate everybody. That way, if he does attack, not everybody will be lost. We'll just hide out over here. Well, he got them all separated. And they started their journey. And he sent everybody off. And what does he wind up by himself? Alone. How many know when you're alone, when you've exhausted all the things that you can do, and just you, that's when God will show up. And there'll be a lesson to be learned. So how many want to learn a lesson today? I want to show you how much God loves you and cares about you. How much He wants to reveal Himself to you. Because until you know who God is for yourself, you can come to church, you can hang out with everybody, you can associate with it. But associating with church and hanging out with folks, although it can bring you some joy, it can also bring a sense of peace. You know, people will have more peace when they got two people in the room than when they're by themselves. Especially if you're fearful. Just something about it. Something about somebody else. I remember when I was a kid, I didn't know this. My parents probably didn't know it. We had no clue of it, that one day I'd be in the ministry. But anyway, I was just a little fella, and for some reason, and we was protected. We didn't have a television or anything like that. When I was growing up, there were no the games they have today. You know, they got crazy games today. Well, there was none of that. But somehow, for whatever reason, a spirit of fear had got on me. Now, when I say got on me, it took resident. It wasn't just kind of come and go. It took resident. So it didn't matter. Anything can trigger it. And it was a tormenting spirit. Well, I know now why that spirit attacked, because it wanted to change the future. Right? How many know the devil's out to change your future? What does he do in your future? He kills, he steals, and he destroys. But Christ said, I'm come that you might have life. Zoe. Isn't that incredible? What is Zoe? Not just living. Life. Zoe means God kind of life. God intended life. God purposed life. Zoe, and Zoe more abundantly. So it's life to come, but life you can experience now leading up to that which will come to fruition, which will become real to you and I. There it is. It's manifest. There are a lot of things that's not manifest yet, but we have to live the life of faith. That's why I said without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we have to come with faith, believing that he is going to do what he said he would do. And it doesn't make sense to us. It's not been revealed to us as far as our senses go, but we trust God's word. That's why we have to have faith. Once Christ returns, you don't need faith. What are you going to need faith for? His face you will see. There's no faith there. He's there. It's manifest. It's reality. There's no faith. You don't need faith in the kingdom of God. None whatsoever. Because it's all been made real. But now, we see through a glass darkly. It's not real clear, but it will be clear. One day, we'll see him face to face. Now, keep that in mind, because that's what Jacob had in this wrestling match. He come to realize about this face to face, and that's important, valuable. So let me read the text, and then we'll go from there. There's a lot of things I believe the Lord wants to say, and I can tell you, he's going to have to say them, because I'm out of slides. Don't you just love it when God does that? So Genesis, I'll read this. I just got the text here. Genesis chapter 32, verse 22 through 32. Let's look at it together. I'll have the text here, and then we'll go from there. Wherever this is going to go, but I believe it's for you. No accidents in God. There's no happenstance. There's none of that. There's a reason for it. There's a reason for why things go the way they go and things happen the way they happen. Sometimes we're headstrong, want to do it this way and that way, and God will let just some. He's not out to hurt us. You know what he said in Jeremiah? He says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. In Jeremiah, he tells us that. It's not to hurt you. It's not to hurt you. So he's not out to hurt you, yet you can get out of a situation with God where you got a limp. It sure hurts. You know, God says not to hurt, but it hurts. Well, you have to understand what we define hurt is we don't want to be hurt means we want no pain. And sometimes pain is the very thing that'll bring you to God. You don't think his only son would have loved to have it with no pain? Right? No pain. No pain would have been what? Just stand him up and just shoot him through the heart with an arrow. He'd experience some seconds of pain, then he would have died. But they didn't go that way. They drug him out the garden in chains and began to beat on him. They had their way with beating on him and humiliating him, stripping all his clothes off, then brought him in before those who were judging. See, there was a lot of pain involved. But he was trying to get us somewhere. Sometimes wrestling with God is just trying to get you somewhere where you know in your heart you ought to be, but you don't know how to get there, because every time you take one step forward, the devil keeps reminding you of how terrible you are. Well, if you think that's going to quit, you're kidding yourself. He will always remind you of how terrible you are, how bad of a sinner you are, how disgusting you are, how no good you are. He'll always remind you of all the stuff you've done wrong. You can listen to that, or you can listen to what God has to say about you. I don't want to hurt you, but I want to give you hope and an expected end. Now, how many here know right now when I just said that, you know at least five people should be here today to hear what I'm saying, because truth be told, the devil's robbing from them terribly, just ripping it away from them. Well, we can't help that today. What we can do is be obedient to God, to speak what God says to the listeners today. And you can take it from there. If you all take it from there, exponential explosion happens. Not just a little bit. It explodes. And that's what God wants from us. So let's look at the text. Now, this is from our Torah portion. So if you read Torah portion, you'll be familiar with this reading. Genesis 32:22, and he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two woman servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford of Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. I want you to take note of that. Jacob was left alone. Left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, this is the man that's wrestling with him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. This is the hollow of Jacob's thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Was out of joint. And if you've ever experienced anything like that, you know what that feels like. It's not where you can just relax and say, oh, that's okay. It feels normal. There's nothing normal about having something dislocated. Right? If you experience that, you know that to be true. It's not normal at all. You're not saying, oh, yeah, I'm good. Little pain. There's no little pain. Something's where it shouldn't be, and you want to get it back where it should be so the pain will go away. So Jacob's experiencing something here that is not just a little twinge of pain. He's hurting. He's in some pretty bad shape now. He's dislocated his hip. It's out of joint. Now he's limping. He's holding on with everything he's got. And he said, let me go. This is the man, as the scripture says, that's wrestling with him. This is how he sees it. This is the being told to us. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Now notice his request. What is Jacob requesting? I need a blessing. I need the approval. I need the okay. I need to know that you're giving me this thumbs up sign. You're going to be good. And he said unto him, what is thy name? Now notice that. What is thy name? And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. Understand that. Thy name will no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. Now, I said to you last night that Jacob means deceiver. Jacob means deceiver. But he's going to, for as a prince thou hast power with Elohim and with men and hast prevailed. Israel means one who contends with God. Who's reached a point of understanding who God is. You're willing to hold on until you get the revelation that you've been asking God for. Now, I explain this, I want to say this so you understand it, that a lot of times in life, we don't know why we're troubled about things, but if you give up on what you're troubled about because it's trouble, then did you really have a passionate desire to know it? See, some people want to know something about God, and they ask God for it. Maybe ask Him two or three times in prayer. But then, because it doesn't come when they want it, they go on to something else. Well, when I can tell you, when the Lord revealed to me by prophecy what I needed to start looking at, I wrestled with that thing. And I wrestled and wrestled and wrestled, and I was determined to not let it go until I understood it. Well, when I understood it, for what God was trying to reveal, especially about His glory, I wrestled with that. You got to understand, from 2001, I wrestled with God telling me, when you look into my glory, you'll be changed instantly. Well, I don't know what that means. So I researched it, and I read, and I studied the scripture on that. I wrestled with it. Then I come to realize that if you hold on, God will reveal Himself to you. Now here, I want you to understand this. No matter what I say about God, God needs to reveal Himself to you. Now I'll show you that later on in scripture. I can tell you a lot of things about God. But you need to have God reveal Himself to you. And the way that happens is you got to hold on, not let go, until something happens. Be determined. And so we find here, we'll just read the rest of the text. He's talking about a name change. So something's happened here that we didn't see previous, before in the life of Jacob. And he blessed him there, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. For I have seen Elohim face to face. It's the face. The face. It literally means the face to face. And my life is preserved. I didn't die. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he exalted upon his, he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinews, which shank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh. And he just talks about their tradition kind of started this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that is the shank. So I wanted you just to point that out. That's the rest of the scripture. So you can put it back on the starting slide. Just leave it there. And let's talk about this for a little bit. Here's Jacob's journey. In his life, he wasn't the heir that was firstborn, yet an heir nonetheless. He was an heir, but not firstborn heir. And he deceived his brother into selling his birthright. Then his mother got involved, and the blessing was given to him. But this was known. God knew. This was not shocking God. Let me just tell you right now, every one of you here, you think you're shocking God by whatever decisions you make in your life? He already knew it. That does something for me. Because He was loving me before I made the decision, and after I made it, He still loved me. And He's just waiting now to see what I'll decide now. But He knows. He knows every person that'll listen to Him or reject Him. And that's some of that, when I think about that, it bothers me. Like, God, you already know. How many you say, well, I'm okay with that. You're not okay with it. If you knew what somebody already said or did, and you were in the same room with them, your whole attitude would be different toward them than somebody who agrees with you. You know that to be true. If they're agreeing with you, you got a different attitude toward those who agree than the ones that might have said something. You're there. You're smiling. But you don't have the same... You're not pushing yourself overly, exerting yourself toward them. When this party's over, I'm going to the house. Can you imagine God in this place? He constantly pushes himself to us. He constantly wants to be involved in our life. And he already knows what our decision is going to be. He knows the rejecters. You ever wonder, why does he even come back? Why does he even ask again? Because if he could decide for us, if he could decide for Plaquemines Parish, every person in Plaquemines would have their head on right, and they would be seeking God with everything that's in them. That would be God's decision. But he'd give every one of us the right to choose. You choose your destiny. You choose whether you're going to live for God or not. You make that choice. Now, is it available to us? He said, no one can come to me except I draw him. We're in a drawing moment right now. We're the drawing in the presence of God just by the service structure today. And the fact that God says, you can do this right here. Why, God? Why are we doing that? Because this is what I want. That shows God's drawing us. But when we look at a situation like we're sitting in, and we understand that Jacob's life was no different than our life. I don't know if anybody in here who can say there wasn't a time in our life that we did some things that was deceptive. We tried to, listen, if you ever tried to pull it over on anybody, that's deception. If you ever tried to front to anybody to be something that you're not, that's deception. So probably all of us in here, at some point, we were deceivers. So we don't want to pick on Jacob too much. He's a deceiver, as are we all. But how many know that God can change that? He can change that. So here's Jacob. He's about to have this encounter with his brother. He's like, he's going to kill me today. I'm going to lose everything. Now he's got anxiety. How many has ever had anxiety for real? Well, you get anxiety. It's hard to explain anxiety. Right? You get it, but you don't know how to explain it. You go to the doctor and try to tell him this is real. So back to my story. That demonic influence of fear literally took residence. And anything can trigger it. Like I'd be laying in the bed, a dog bark. That was it. I felt like the monsters were going to get me. The worst was sirens. If I heard a siren, let me tell you, it was terrible. Terrible. I never slept the rest of the night because I was up. What's going on? What's happening? I didn't want to hear anything. There were manifestations where anything that was a cylinder in shape would manifest as serpents. It was terrible. A belt. Couldn't leave. Mom had to pick up all the belts. Don't leave belts. You leave a belt laying around, that was it. It got me. And I didn't look at it to get me just the way it did. So anyway, as a young boy, I was preyed on for that fear and that demon to leave, and I was freed from it. But let me tell you, it tried to come back many, many other times. Because that's what they do. They always going to come back to see if you are inviting or not. They'll always come back. Because once it's possessed, it'll always come to possess again. What does that mean? You're a candidate for possession. And he knows it. He ain't going to quit. But something can change for that. So Jacob, he was a candidate by his own willingness to participate in what he participated in his life. Whether that been by his own doing, when his brother comes in from hunting and says, he says, I'm going to die. I'm so hungry. I don't know if I'm going to make it the rest of the day. And he opens the lid. Smell this. How many of you know the devil's been opening the lid for a lot of people? Yeah, you're right. You're not going to make it. You done tried that. You're never going to make it. Just take a good smell of this. This is way better. What did Esau say? Yeah, I might as well take it. What's the good for me to have a birthright if I'm going to die? He buys into it. Jacob sold to that all of a sudden. Now he's got the blessing. He partners with his mom, gets all of this going, and now the enemy's coming. See, yep, you're going to die. Your brother's going to kill you. He's got all this anxiety. He separates, and now he's alone. Alone. And see, sometimes the one thing I didn't want to do is be alone. As long as that spirit was there, I didn't want to be alone. Now alone, it doesn't bother me, because I know that when I'm by myself, that's when I can have the greatest encounters with God. You got to take advantage of that. Sometimes you feel isolated. You feel like you've been put on an island and nobody really knows how you feel and how you think. Nobody knows that. But that's not for you to get anxiety. That's for you to have an encounter. So when the wrestling starts, the jousting, the grappling, trying to get position, when it starts, because let me tell you, the Bible says this, that we have to understand that we have to cast down everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Why is that? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers. There's rulers of darkness, there's spiritual wickedness in high places that dominate certain spheres, certain regions. They dominate, and it impacts people's life. And the way God wants us to understand this is the word wrestle again. It's grappling for position. Get in the spot and hold that position. Well, this is where Jacob found himself. He latched on to the man that appeared, and they started wrestling. And they wrestled all night long. And now it's getting daylight. And the angel of the Lord says, "Let me go." He said, "I won't let you go until you bless me. I'm done with anxiety. I'm finished with trying to figure this out on my own." Then he realized something. "Well, I'm going to test you. I'm about to test you. You really done with anxiety? You really ready to give it up? Give it all to God? I'm going to touch the hollow of your thigh and cause a dislocation, and I'm going to put you in a position where you're more vulnerable now than you was before we started the wrestling match." At least before he could run from Esau. Now he can't even run. He's got nowhere to go now. He's crippled. He's dragging that leg. But there's something happened to him. The Bible says he built an altar. Building an altar in Scripture signifies a settling. It signifies I've come to understand. It says that I am invoking a right to worship the Most High God. This is the place where I met him. You don't build an altar if that's not the place you met him. Now, Jacob knew about God, but he never had an encounter with God that settled everything for him. I can tell you, everybody here, when you get an encounter with God that'll settle everything for you, you'll never be the same. Never. So I want to point out just a couple things here that I believe will help us understand this. I want you to see in Job 42, verse number 5. Job 42, verse number 5, says this, I had heard rumors about you. Now, this is Job after he lost everything. He's going through it. His friends show up. They're telling Job, well, maybe God done it for this and this and that. And we know that God spoke to Job and said, he's letting him know. He said what happened was he's actually speaks to Bildad and Zohar, and he lets them know, this is his friends. He tells them, he says, you take the rams and make a sacrifice and go to Job, for I'll hear Job, but I won't listen to you, for you have not spoken right about me. So Job came to understand through his troubles, his struggles, who God is. Now, that's the thing that's funny about this, that makes it challenging. Because depending on how you take it, if you start going through something, if you take it that God's against me, you won't learn a whole lot from it. Maybe you've done something, Job. Maybe you misspoke about God or something. There's got to be something going on, Job, for God to do this to you. He's out to get you. Well, he wouldn't have learned the lesson. So his friends are speaking that way, and God says, they have not spoken right about me. But watch in this verse what it says. In Job 42, verse 5, it says, I heard rumors about you. This is speaking about God. I heard rumors about you. But now my eyes have seen you. Think about that. You want to know what's going on in your life? When your eyes see him. It don't matter what I see. It don't matter what somebody else sees about God. See, Brother Troy, he can know God for himself. But I ain't going to help you. When you see him for yourself, your life will change. Ain't nobody got to call you, remind you, tell you about what you should do for God. You're going to do it because you have seen him. It's become real to you. And that's what has to happen in our church world today. We don't need to set church up where church is some daycare center, where folks come and they ailing from the week's long troubles, and somehow we got a message here to fix all of it for you. Then you go back and do it again. Come back and we'll fix it again. We'll hug you, love you. We'll be there for all the... We'll go to your baby showers. It's not the church set up for that. You're going to find that in the scripture. That's not what he said. What we're here to do is give you an encounter with the Most High. That way, if I quit this thing, you still go on, because don't be following some fool who can't get it right. Because that's exactly what I'd be. You don't quit because I quit. I'm here to tell you, you can have your own encounter with God where you see God for yourself. It doesn't matter what anybody else does. You're not just going off of rumors. How many of you know there's a difference between a rumor and being there and experiencing it for yourself? And that's what people do. We'll go to church because it's the right thing to do. We'll go to church because the family goes to church. I want to be sort of religious. You know how many times people told me that? You know, yesterday, these are good guys. They're kind of religious like you. Because they define it that way. Because you go to church. If you go to church, you're religious. What does that mean? So we associate with a certain thing? Listen, if I hang out with a bunch of fighters, that don't make me a fighter. I can tell you that. I'll get my head knocked off. You know, I'll go to do that and bow. Where did that come from? Somebody put their foot right upside your head. You didn't even see it coming. You didn't know they had legs that long. You can hang out with fighters all you want. Listen, you can hang out with fishermen. That don't make you a fisherman. Only the captains in here know what that means. You got him, huh? Oh, I got him. It doesn't make you that. You can hang out with the right family from the right clan. That don't make you walking in the promises of God. Let me tell you what was going to happen to Jacob if he didn't have that wrestling encounter. His brother was going to kill him. God kept him. And the reason he kept him, because he needed to be counted. Remember I told you last night? The father, he said, the God of your grandfather, Abraham, and your father, Isaac. But we don't have Jacob named yet. Till later, after the wrestling match, we go Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because Jacob can't get it because his grandfather got it. He don't get it because his daddy got it. He got it because he held on that night and said, I'm going to wrestle until I get it. Sometimes we want something, but we're not willing to hang on until we get it. We got a lot of that happening in the society today of people who just quit when it gets tough. Let me tell you, just because you come to church don't mean it's going to be easy for you. It's not just going to be wonderful. I'm going to church now. Well, you going to church now? Well, let me tell you something. You better get ready. You better start working out, exercising, eating right, doing what you can, because every devil in hell is out to get you now. They're not going to let you just go about your business. Remember, you're a candidate. You're easily possessed. You know how many times fear tried to come back at me? That same demonic influence tried to come back at me? You know what I said? I will not fear, for he is with me. Do you understand that? I went back to the word of God. I shall not fear, because he's with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table? Where? In the presence of the enemy. God's not trying to get you. He's not trying to isolate you. He's trying to insert you. He wants to put you where you got to come up against that stuff. Well, you know, if you hang out there, you're going to wind up doing it. Not if you had a face-to-face with God. If you have a face-to-face with God, you're not going to want to do it. You don't care about doing it. Something happened to you, and your name gets counted in the lineage. How many want your name counted? You know, folks talking about, well, I come from that drug scene. I don't know. I just want, it's all around. Ain't nothing you can do about it. Listen, you can walk right in the midst of it. That's where we need you. We don't need to isolate you, put you in some bubble room for you're afraid because I don't want to get close to you. I'm going to tell you, it don't matter if it gets right next to your shoulder. It will not affect you because something happened to you. It wasn't because Pastor was with you. It wasn't because Brother Troy was on side of you. It wasn't because Brother Josh was there. No, it was because God was there, because you knew him for yourself. Yes. You encountered him. That's what the church should be teaching. Not bringing people to ourselves so we can build some numbers so the offering gets bigger. The church was never designed to be that way. What it's designed is to raise men and women up who will not be ashamed of the gospel, for they know it's the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. It's to train up our children in the way they should go, that when they're older, they won't depart from the faith. That's what we should be doing. Yes. Teach the truth. Tell people. We're afraid to tell people too much. We don't want them to be smarter than us. Really? Listen, there's a lot of people smarter than me. I just so happen to be the guy talking today. That don't make me anything. You understand? There's a lot of people smarter than I am. But let me tell you something. You can be real, real smart and not listen to God. That's not good. And that's what happened to Jacob. He gets this encounter. His life starts to change. He said, I heard a rumor about God, but now I've seen him. I don't know my rumor. And that's what's happening to people. You think, well, I quit. It's not because you're weak. It's not that you can't. It's not that God gives more to some people and gives less to you. It's because you believe something that's not true. You believe what's not true. You believe what the enemy said about you. If Jacob would have bought in, you can't handle me. This wrestling match is beyond you. You're never going to make it. I felt like I won't make it. I even started believing, man, am I going to make it? But I knew one thing. I'm not letting you go until you bless me. You can say, let me go. I won't let go. That's what we need out of our society today. People will hold on with all their might until they get what they're really asking God for. We want things. So folks say, I want a miracle. You do? Yeah, I want a miracle. I need a miracle. But it'll last for a little while. And then they'll go on to something else. Forgot about it. Know what they learned to do? Live with the ailment. Live with that distraction in your life. Folks that are needing a spouse, they'll learn to live single. And say, well, I guess this is what God wants. Isn't what God wants? You're a quitter. You gave up. You got to hang on with everything. If you believe in God's got somebody for you, then let me tell you something. You hold on till you find that. You got a sickness, a disease, you got cancer, whatever it is, fight. Fight with everything that's in you, but don't bow to it because you'll be dead quickly. Just the other day, we had a group came that use our business, and you know, you try to remember everybody's face, but it's hard. There's people, it's hard to remember their faces. And so, as soon as they walked in, I was like, oh, yeah, that's who that is. But I was trying my best to remember the face. I didn't remember. Well, they walked up, the same four people. Only two of them came last year as far as going out, but the four was going to go. The man's husband and the guy's girlfriend. Well, anyway, the man walks up. He's 64 years old. 64. How many believe 64 is old? I don't think 64 is old. When I was five, I thought that was ancient. Said, I'll never get that old. I don't think it's old at all now. 64, I'm going to hit second gear. Right? Some of you are looking at 64 like that. Right? But you remember it. It wasn't bad. You'd like to be 64 again. 64? I run circles around him. You know? But think about it. So he's 64 years old. He walked up. How you doing, Jesse? Say, I'm doing good. How you been? I got stage 4 cancer. I probably won't be here next year. Okay, you let me down real easy there. Just like that. I went, wow. I said, really? He said, yep, I got colon cancer. It's attacked my kidney. It's in my lymph nodes. I probably won't be here. It's my last hunting trip. Nobody said anything. They're all standing there, the ones with him. I was waiting for somebody to chime in and say, oh, Dad, don't talk like that. They just got their buckets and walked on the boat. I went, wow, this bothers me. This bothers me. We live in a society that'll quit and give up because somebody told you something that's wrong. Now, he ain't lying. He got it. It's real. But he processed it that it's over. That's his process. Well, I let the day one go by. But day two, they ain't want nobody escaping from that dock without me talking to them. So we got in on day two. And when they're getting ready to pay, I said, for y'all pay. They got something more important than that. I said, now tell me about this cancer. He starts crying. He said, I got stage 4 cancer. He said, they thought they had it. He said, I'm doing chemo. I'm on my break right now. He said, I'm telling you. He said, I don't know what to do. I'm probably not going to make it. His wife's crying now. His son, I can tell, there's a little issue there. He's handling it this way. There ain't no tough guy when your daddy got cancer. You can be tough all you want. You think that changes anything? Don't change nothing. I said, well, let me tell you, my dad was diagnosed with cancer. You can take two approaches. You can give in, you can give up, or you can fight. You can fight. And you can fight with everything that's in you, but if you hold on to the last, and even though you don't win that battle, you win the war in the end. Because though you die, yet shall you live. How many understand that? But I don't want to die without hope. I don't want to die as a quitter, one that gave up and said there's no sense in it. Because you don't have, there's no peace about that. So I said, I'm going to tell you something. I do this for a living, but I'm a pastor of a church. He said, yeah, I remember you saying that last year. I said, you mind if I pray for y'all? I want to pray for your whole family. I said, God will change your heart attitude completely about this and you can take a different approach. He said, we want all the help we could get. He said, I try to pray every night. And I said, well, let me just tell you something. It ain't about trying. I was very frank with him. I said, it ain't about trying. Your life's on the line. There's no trying. There's not a trying time. This is about being serious, committed. And I said, I'm going to pray that you'll get a revelation of who he is. I'm going to pray for your healing, but you got to be a participant. Now, I don't know what, I didn't ask him about church. I didn't ask him about if he believed he was saved. I'm talking about this is the real deal. I said, you got to be a participant. So I shared some things with him that he could start doing. I shared some things with him that he could be a participant in and be somebody who speaks in a way that is not always negative. So then I prayed. And I prayed the prayer of faith that will save the sick. And I said, God, you do something in their life right now. Touch them right now. Join them together. Because I felt there's a sense of division here. Now, there's other siblings. They weren't there. So I left. I got my vehicle. They had to check out before we even left. So they were changing. I said, if you need to. So they come in. The ladies choose the condo. They change. They in their vehicles, putting their stuff. And I rolled my window down. We waved by. And I'm going up the road. And I looked at Philip and I said, man, I want details. And I didn't get it. I said, we got to have the details. We got to be very, very specific when we pray. I said, I want to know his, I need his phone number. I said, why didn't I do that, Lord? When I said that, my phone rang. I said, hello? It was his son. He says, hey, you need to come back. Why? He said, turn around right now. He said, I was supposed to give you more money. I said, no, you paid the whole thing. He said, no. In my heart, I was supposed to give you more. And I should have. And my dad reminded me of it while you was passing. So I pulled back in. Guess who comes to the window with the extra money? Mr. Wayne. And I said, Mr. Wayne, there was something I need to do. I want all your information, where you live, telephone number, everything. So I want to stay in touch with you. I should have done that on the dock, and I didn't. But see, God, even in my not paying attention to detail, God worked it out in the end. I believe that, and I said, next year, we're going to hunt together. And he's still fighting it. I hope so. I said, listen to me. Next year, we're going to hunt together. And for the first time, he said, somebody's being positive for me. I said, I could be positive, but you need to be. And you got to go to the Word of God. So I'm going to send him some stuff. We're going to be praying for Wayne Maynard. We're going to be praying for him that God will touch him. 64 years old, stage 4 cancer. The doctors give him less than 1 year to live. How many of you know God is able? Be a participant. Be active. Let God use you. You never know the people you're going to meet. And I hate to know one day God said, you met this person, you didn't think anything about it, you could have helped them. You know why it's hard for us to help? We are so distracted. We have anxiety. We're trying to figure it out ourselves. We're trying to, like Jacob, I'm going to put my family over here. I'm going to put the other ones over here. And if he tacks over here, at least these will survive. He's doing all of this. And God's letting him just, what is he doing? I'm about to change his life. And so you can have an encounter for yourself. See, you can hear about God or you can have one for yourself. I'll never forget this. We was in Michigan. We went to visit a church. Papa Bill was there. We were just kids. And it was a relative of his who had been teaching Sunday school for 30 years at a church in Michigan. We went to that church. That's the one they brought us to. Beautiful church. And we were just kids. And he gave a testimony. He said he taught Sunday school for 30 years. He wasn't even saved. He didn't even know. He said it was just the right thing to do. They asked him if he would teach. He said, yeah, I liked reading stories and stuff like that. He said, I taught Sunday school for 30 years. I didn't even know about being saved. He said, when somebody told me about what was done for me through Christ, he said I was unbelievable. He said, I didn't realize that I could be saved. He said, I was doing what I could do to be a good person. He said, maybe one day, if the Lord saw fit, he would accept me. He said, that's why he did it. He didn't realize that he could accept Christ for himself. He can have his own relationship. And the one thing Christ is trying to do for all of us is to get us to know the Father. So if you don't know who the Father is, you have handicapped yourself. Some people say, well, I know who Jesus is. Well, if you know who Jesus is, you can't tell me I don't know the Father. Because if you know Jesus, then you got to know the Father, because he is the exact representation of who God is to humanity. That's who he is. Because he said it this way, if you've known me, then you know the Father. So that puts in question what people say when they say, well, I know Jesus. Really? What about the Father? I don't know. And then probably you don't know Jesus, because he is the exact representation of who the Father is. So my goal here today is to get you to understand that you need to do it for yourself. For yourself, you need to grab hold to this, because it's important. Now, real quickly, there's a couple more things that I want to look at. Go to Lamentations chapter 3. Now that might be one of the areas a lot of times we don't look at a lot of, because it has a lot going on there. But I wanted to read something to you concerning Lamentations that deal with this particular subject that we're looking at right now, and how to help us understand these wonderful principles that are laid out by God. Now, let me see. I won't be able to read it all. I wanted to, but we, for sake of time, we're going to be a little bit. Okay, verse 1, we'll read as much as we can on it. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse number 1. I am the man that had seen afflictions by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me he is turned. He turned his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath built against me, compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chains heavy. Also, when I cry and shout, he shuddered out my prayer. He shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with huge stone. He hath made my path crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. And he hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrow of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was in derision to all my people in their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He had also broken my teeth with gravel stone. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from Yahweh. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath then still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of Yahweh's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassion failed not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Now, let me tell you, that's not a pretty story when you start out. It's not until the end that you figure out, I can't make it without God. I need him. I need him in my life every moment of the day. I remember the story of when in Damascus, he's on his way to Damascus. Saul's there. Saul of Tarsus. He's on his way to Damascus, and all of a sudden he has an encounter. He has this encounter, and something happened to him. How could he be going to persecute Christians? How could he be thinking, you know, I'm doing God's work? I'm doing God's work. On all accounts, it's what he's doing. He's part of the church. I'm doing God's work. I've been in church all these years, but I never had an encounter. I'm convinced that's what we suffer from. People get used to going to church with no encounter. So what's going to happen? When, as soon as it gets too heavy, you let go. As soon as it gets where it's not fun to you, you quit. When you have an encounter, don't matter what happens, who stays? You are going to serve God with everything that's in you. You are going to make sure that you do what God has called you to do. That's what had to happen to Jacob. That's why he wrestled until the break of dawn. And then he knew that here we are. So I want you to understand that these are valuable principles. All of this that he's going through, but in the end, it is of the Yahweh's mercy that we are not consumed, because of his compassions, because his compassions fail not. How many believe that? They are new every morning. Every morning. Notice that. They are new every morning. You know what's the issue? Why most people struggle in their relationship with God? They don't see it as it's new every morning. So, and I'm saved. You're saved, but you went to bed. You go to bed that night. You've experienced what you're literally experiencing is the state of unconsciousness. You wake up, thank you, God, because there have been a many who didn't. You say, well, you know, sometimes we take it that it's just going to happen. Really? You go ask that mama this morning, her baby didn't wake up. You ask that daddy that her son didn't wake up. You ask that, you understand, you ask that husband, his wife didn't wake up. I go down the list. But there have been a many today didn't wake up. They experienced that unconscious, didn't wake up. We take for granted it's just going to happen. Really? You know what I say? It's new every morning. Every morning when I get up, I got to decide today. Am I going to serve you? Am I going to live for you today? Am I really going to commit my life to you today? Or is it going to be my way today? You know, we're taking a day off, God. Break time. You do what you're going to do, and I need some me time. You know what happens? You got to be careful how much me time you get. Because when you get that report from the doctor, your me time's over. Now we want some help. You find yourself without a job, you want some help. You find yourself with a broken relationship, you want some help. And believe me, I know that to be a fact. I've seen and experienced it many times. Is this the pastor? Yeah. Can I come talk to you? Yeah. They get there, they're broke. Broken. Don't have no answers. All the me time's over with. I need God. Well, if I tell them, okay, you can have him, Grab on to him, wrestle with him all night, and don't let go until you get it. Good night. They're going to look at me as you're insensitive. I don't like going to that church. He didn't even hug me. I needed somebody to hold me. What you need is me to tell you the truth. You need a God encounter. Because when I can't hold you, your mama can't hold you, your daddy can't hold you, your neighbor's not holding you, the wife's not holding you, the husband's not holding you, you know what God will do? He'll hold you and he won't let you go because he loves you that much. He'll do it for you. When everybody bails, he'll be there. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be there to the end. You say, I feel forsaken. That's good. That's good because he's trying to do something. When you feel forsaken, when you feel alone, get ready because the wrestling match is coming. That's when you hold on. Anybody can make it when everything's going good. It's not hard. You got money in the bank, your bills are paid, groceries in the car, you're good. Your relationships are right, the kids are making A's. We're good. You think you don't have to be super to make it then, but let stuff go wrong. What do? You latch on. And if you're in the habit of always holding on, it's not going to be no problem. It's when you get that, you got to get the me time out of you. You got to figure that out. And I know a lot of people, and you know a lot of people. You've been there. You know what that feels like. You know what it sounds like. Me, 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 me. That's good. But when it goes broke, you're going to call on God. Ain't nobody had more than Job had. Nobody. He said there's none like him. He's perfect in everything he does. He had it. And Satan says, if you let me get to him, I'll make him curse you. Go ahead. Go ahead and try him. Try Job. Try him out. Have you considered Job? You've been going all over. You've been tormenting this one and tormenting that one. Have you considered him? What is God trying to show? He's trying to show that there are real people out there who really love God, who really commit their life to God. I want to know if you want to be the one in here today who really wants to commit your life to God, who really wants to say, you know what, I'm going to serve God. You say, why do I have to do that? How many got children in here? Let me see your hand if you got children. You can't buy them enough stuff. You can't bring them to McDonald's and Burger King and Chuck E. Cheese and go to Disney World and buy them Christmas presents and birthday wrappers or whatever you do for them. You can't do enough. You can take them to their favorite store every day, buy them Nike shoes. You can do all that for them. None of that matters. But until a man sits down with his kids and says, listen to me, serve God. Him only shall you serve. Live for the Lord. And that's how God counts you as a father worthy of the child. But he said, if you do any other thing and cause one of these little ones to stumble, it'd be better that a millstone be tied about your neck and you cast into the sea. I know about you, but I'm familiar with the sea. I ain't too familiar with a millstone. I've seen a couple of them in my lifetime traveling to other countries. We don't fool with that around here too much, but in other countries, in the mission field, you see millstones still. They're big. And I've seen them with yoke of a buffalo, water buffalo attached to them. Two buffalo yoked up, and they just walk it in a circle. There's a big old stone, and they're throwing that rice in there and just grinding it out, making that flour. And that's all they do. Now, I talk about that big old millstone. I'm sure if you hook it to somebody's neck and throw them in the sea, it won't be a good day for them. It wouldn't be a good day at all. And that's what God said would be better for you, that happened to you, than when you face me. That ought to get your attention. That ought to help somebody say, you know what, I don't want that to happen. But what do I have to do? Well, it's no hoops to jump through. It ain't bow your head, close your eyes, nobody looking around. We're going to see. Raise your hand. I know the Lord's dealing with you. I know the Lord's dealing with you. He's dealing. Go on, come on, make commitment. There ain't none of that. Come on, let's get real. You know what people do publicly? Publicly we do things in front of other people. Ain't no secret come back to God. You know what? It's us talking to each other, looking at each other in the eyeball and saying, you know what? It's time to make a commitment to God. Serve Him. Him only shall you serve. And that was the thing that Satan tried to do to the Son of God, to Messiah. He says, listen, I'm going to give you everything. All you got to do is side with me. He said, I'm not siding with you. Are you serious? He said, I'll worship the Lord my God, and Him only will I serve. That word serve is latria. That's a big word there. I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to give my devotion, my adoration, my commitment is going to be to God. And if you'll do that, things will change. That's what happened to Jacob. So you read down a few chapters later, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. The blessing went on. And so two boys came from Joseph, who was sold out there. They meant him to evil, but God turned around for good. He brought those two boys, Ephraim and Manasseh, and there's Jacob. And what did he do? He blessed those boys because he got a hold of who his God was. He found out. So the blessing went on. And we know that it stems on from that. And so I pray today that this has helped you. And this is the Lord just giving us opportunity to look at some things in Scripture. How many thank God that we can look at these things in Scripture? If you wanted to read on the Damascus encounter, that's Acts 22, verse 6 to 11. That's something that you can look at there if you wanted to do that. Psalms 34, verse number 8 says, I have tasted and I know that the Lord is good. I have tasted and I know that the Lord is good. What you got to do, you taste. You know for yourself. Don't have some experience with God off of somebody else. It's got nothing to do with them. They can help you, guide you, bring you in the right direction. But they'll never be God to you. Only He can be God to you. When He's God to you, and your relationship's based solely upon that, you're going to see some wonderful, wonderful, amazing things happen in your life. So, my prayer is that you understand that you grab hold to it, and that you allow this to become a blessing in your life. Well, I believe that's a good spot for us to stop right there. Everything the Lord asked of me, I said to the Lord, I said, I'll do whatever it is you want me to do. I've been working on this presentation that I had planned to do this morning for 3 years. So I didn't start it yesterday. I was telling Brother Josh that we're talking about it today. I've been working on this thing for 3 years. So I figured, you know, God, it's ready. It's time. I finished that one. But the Lord said, we ain't doing that today. Not today. We might do it later. But we ain't doing it today. Why? Because God wants you to hear what you heard today. He wanted you to hear it. Now you got to decide. You got to decide, what am I going to do? What decision am I going to make? You can make that here, you make it at home, you make it wherever you want. Sometimes we think, well, if you didn't, I didn't see him cry, and they must have never got anything. You know, I done seen too many people crying. So you can cry all you want. That don't really move me. You understand? I didn't, because I seen that already. I seen people cry in church and go back and do the same thing, even worse after that. The same night. And you was crying with them. And I'm not trying to be insensitive. But I'm telling you, if you want to cry, you go alone somewhere, you grab on to God, and then come back and talk to me. I can tell you, you won't be the same person. Because ain't nobody in here will grab on to God and you come back the same. You're going to come back with a, you're going to be like that. What happened to you? Man, you wrestle with God, you got to be ready for a limp. You're going to come out of that thing, you're going to know something happened to you. You're going to know it. You got full faith in God. You're going to trust Him with everything, everything. I was telling this to Becky and Scott last night. There's times in our life that the Lord challenged us. I'd have to go in the nursery to be in the exact spot. It was right there, close to the door of the nursery. The platform was faced out away, but I was in that spot right over there. I fell in that carpet when the building was different. It was faced the other way. I fell in that carpet, and I was like, because I was outside working on the net. I was making a skimmer net. I was hanging it. And the Lord began to deal with me. Because I've been asking God and asking God, trying to figure out, Lord, where are we going? Is this what I'm going to do? Am I going to hang on skimming nets? Is that what I'm doing? You understand? That's what I was doing. Is this what I'm doing? I need to know. I'm wrestling. And I want an answer. Then I got demanding. God, I want an answer. I want one today, God. I need an answer from you. He said, you go in there. You want an answer? And I come in, I laid in that carpet. And I'm weeping before God. I'm in there about 5 minutes weeping. Lord said, all right, get up. Give me everything you got.
What?
I come in here for an answer. I didn't come for that, God. I ain't got a whole bunch. You got everything. That ain't the answer I was looking for, but that's the one I needed. Well, let me tell you, that wrestling match got serious. I felt like God knocked my leg out of place. So I turn around, I'm going to the house. It was right there. I go to open the door, and it opened. Charlotte's there. She said, did he tell you to? So I was better with it. Because I knew he worked on both ends. I said, you write everything we got. I don't want a penny left. You give it all. You write the check. Because we're going to trust God. He did that 3 times. 3 times. Every time it was more than the first time. The first time it was over $10,000. But it was about money. You don't have to worry about money. We're talking about God. We're talking about an encounter with God. So the value didn't matter. It was an encounter. I need to know God. What are we doing? Are we lost our mind? Are we crazy? Because we need to shut this thing down because it don't look like it's happening. It's not the money. It's the obedience. It's the fact that you trust God with everything. Well, let me tell you. It don't matter what direction I go in now. God always, supernaturally, abundantly above anything I ever asked or thought of, gives to me. But more importantly, I know who my Father is. I had an experience with Him. I was able to go in a spot that I couldn't go in because I was relying on self more than I was relying on Him. And when I gave everything that self could depend on away, God was there. And it's been an amazing journey ever since. So let me tell you something. I don't know what your experience will be. He may never ask you to do that. And I always tell people, don't do what I did. I did what I did, and it was God. You do what God tells you. It could be some things that may not be significant to other people, but to you it is, and to God it is. And He just wants to know if you obey. Will you obey? You get a piece of paper out and start writing your story. Start writing it down. It won't be long. You're going to start struggling trying to find the next sentence to write. You know, where you want to go, what you want to do. I don't even have to think about it. Well, I'm going to tell you, God's got a story written for you. And if you want to know it, you got to know Him. You got to embrace what He has for you. And that's coming and grabbing on to Him, not letting go until He bless you. Wrestle. Get in a position where God can do something for you. And not be afraid that it's going to change. Because listen, if you want to keep everything like it is, do nothing. You're right on track. Don't do anything. But if you want to change, and if you want a promise for your children and your children's children, you want to have a generational blessing rather than a curse, you got to do something. Church is us coming together collectively in a corporate body, harmonizing together with song and the hearing of the word, the reading of scripture. That's church. But a relationship to God is you individually, independent of somebody else. It's not your wife, not the husband, not the children. You individually, not mama, you. You individually saying, I want to know Him for myself. When that happens, everything else falls into place. And all I'm asking you is take some time to think about that. Whether you do it here today, you do it at home, wherever that may be. All I'm here to do is scatter seed. I didn't plant no trees. I'm scattering seed. I pray that it's sown on good ground. It'll come forth and bear fruit in your life. That's my prayer. If you're here today and you'd like us to pray with you, we'd love to do that. We'd love to pray with you. But I can tell you, I've seen the structures of that happening time and time again. And it goes for a little while, but after that. Because that sense of having somebody is what you sink and anchor your anchor on. And when you can't get in touch with them, you feel like all hope is lost. But when you put your anchor in God, you can be in your home. You could be in the darkest room of that house. And all you got to do, I've done it so many times, you got to acknowledge His presence. And there He is. Ain't no phone lines hurting you. I can't get in touch. He's right there. Right there every time. That's what we need. That's the relationship that we need. Let's stand together.